Do you want to do that Big O bit again? Do you want to try that? Should we
do the whole, just go back in time, just pretend it never happened?
Yeah. I say something and you mishear me, and then we go back and forth until we get to Big O. Okay, ready?
Okay.
I'm a goat.
Big gulp?
Big O. Big O.
Big ups to your mom.
big
she's
of me.
Lady. Is that, big, am I doing it right?
That's did Big I, O me.
Yeah. Big O? Big O is an anime that used to run on Cartoon Network that you didn't apparently watch as much as I thought you did. Mm. You don't like good TV.
No. You know, and speaking of good TV, this is Boss Barrel Radio.
Oh, shit. What number of Boss Barrel Radio are we on? Because I don't.
Of the numbered episodes, this is 152.
Oh, really?
Flight 152.
Shit, man, we got to catch up.
Yeah, I know, right? We're not
all
even
other here. Casts. They've done all the numbers more than we have.
I pray for the day when I have to deal with what happens when I add another digit into the episode titles and it screws everything up.
It's kind of a Y2K moment.
It totally is. Yeah, I thought about that and I'm like, I'll probably be dead or have retitled the podcast at that point.
Just go back to alt source.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll it back to one.
The alt source mixed region team.
Yep, AltSource Mixed Region Team, and also it's not video games anymore. It's monthly subscription box reviews.
Why don't you just switch over to WWE? You were telling me all about that.
Oh yeah, WrestleMan. Yep,
isn't that the hot thing to do right now? Just have a wrestling podcast.
If you don't have one, you're pretty much a nobody.
So at the wrestling matches, how much is everyone in the audience just kind of like slyly winking at each other as stuff happens? Like, oh, that's great.
I think everybody is. Everybody is.
Is there yet
everybody's winking all the time.
Do they put all the hipsters in the same place?
They do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They corralled all the people that go to wrestling events, ironically, to the one area. It's also the area that's right next to the Pabst Blue Ribbon dispensary.
Okay, yeah, well, of course. You put one there, and they all just flock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not even real a forced measure. That's just where they go to.
wasn't there like a WWE card game or something where you?
Yeah, Supercard, I think is the name of it.
So that I know Supercard as a device that allows you to illegally play Nintendo DS games.
Ah.
So same difference?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. Illegally playing as wrestlers, yeah.
Can I just say the names of wrestlers because I really don't know anything about the Big Show?
The Big Show.
We should have opened with Big Show, man.
It's the Big Show.
It's perfect. It's the perfect way to go to Big O.
Well, we're there now. Hi, I'm Griffin Hoffman.
I'm Jeffrey Brewer.
This is our podcast where we talk about dumb video games because they're the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are the worst. This week, they've been the worst.
This year. This is 2015. First official whatever time frame measurement we're into for... Yeah. The quarterly podcast brought to you by Boss Barrel.
It's actually pre-solstice.
Mm. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. That would explain all the pagan statues that I have out in my house.
Yeah, well, of course. I just want to say that so far 2015 has really kind of not delivered at all.
Been a stinker? Yeah, I don't know if I want my name a part. I don't want to tarnish the Griff brand by applying it to 2015.
Are you going to dump 2015 on other famous Griffins in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
I am. Actually, I'm going to switch it over to famous Griffiths. Those assholes.
Ah. Andy Griffiths?
Sure, whatever. Whatever. Give me your Griffiths. Give me your... I don't know.
But yeah, should we talk about some of that
Kathy
bad
Griffin,
stuff going on
she
in the
can
world?
Have this year.
Kathy Griffin? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, everything that Kathy Griffin touches turns into F-tier Hollywood celebrity food.
Yeah.
Should we talk about that bad stuff that's going on in the world, or should we talk about the games we're playing these days? What do you want to talk about, Griff?
I mean, the world is our oyster at this point. We haven't done anything for almost 3 months, so remember,
I remember when my last name used to be or my middle name used to be Andrew, and I think I've changed it to Sausage since then. So
good. So you're really trying to make 2015 work for you.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. You know, if it's not going to do what I want, then I'm going to bend it to my will.
Yeah, of course. That's the Brewer mantra, right?
that's what everyone in my family has been known to
that's
do.
That's what your tramp stamp reads, isn't it?
That's what my brand from my father that happens to be in the transcript location.
There's been a lot of delays this year. We can start with that. No games are coming out anymore.
Delay?
Yeah.
Where we didn't put the podcast out until now?
I think I'm just going to hold this episode until next year.
there have been a lot of delays. What comes to mind, Griffin?
Boy.
That's our special guest today. Uh-huh. Felix, my dog, is
Felix
barking
is
at one of my cats.
So upset by the delay. The game delays.
Hold on a moment.
Yeah, no problem. The biggest one that comes to mind is definitely Uncharted 4. That was announced, I don't know, earlier, I guess. And to everybody's, well, I shouldn't say everybody's surprise, but to everybody's dashing all hopes that there would be something really cool for the PS4 this year, Uncharted 4 was moved to 2016. So that doesn't leave us with a whole lot.
Yeah, Sony looks like they have a pretty barren release schedule. Mm-hmm. They got that God of War 3 remaster just announced.
Oh yeah, just sticking those fingers in those holes on that sinking ship.
Can't wait to just hey, you know what? In the era of Gamergate, that audience needs to be able to murder women somehow. So I'm glad that they're bringing back God of War 3.
Good, excellent.
Isn't that the one where you literally stuff a bare-breasted woman into two gears and she holds something up and then her body is completely crushed as you go through it?
Yeah,
and she's completely innocent, like she's done nothing wrong.
That was definitely yeah.
So I mean, they'll like that.
Yeah. Yep. There was, I mean, Kevin Sorbo is in that game, so
is he really?
That. Yeah.
You know what else he was in?
I do. I actually do know what else he was in.
The seminal classic, God's Not Dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, also Hercules, but, you know.
Guess who he plays in God of War? You'll never guess it. You'll never guess it.
Not Kratos.
Nope. You'll never guess who Kevin Sorbo of Hercules,
Hercules
fame plays.
He plays Hercules.
No,
yeah,
it's actually the guy from Farscape. I totally gotcha. Ha ha.
Oh.
No, it's Hercules. You were right the first time. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, in God's Not Dead, Kevin Sorbo plays an evil philosophy professor who tries to get all of his students to sign something that says God doesn't exist or else he'll fail them.
Oh, man.
That's basically what happened in my philosophy class.
How nefarious. That's quite the...
I know, right?
That also happened in my philosophy classes. That's why I chose not to go to them.
You just opened your own church on campus.
It was called the Church of Sleeping In and Not Writing Papers.
Yes. If they're gonna make you not sacrifice goats in class, then screw them, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm paying for this education. Let me do or not do what I want to do.
Exactly. Or it's not just a time to experiment.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, you got to find yourself.
Yeah. But yeah.
So I mentioned Uncharted 4 was gone from 2015.
Mm-hmm.
That what also
was delayed.
Gosh, what else was delayed?
That was just the only game that was out that was coming out this year that I cared about.
Yeah. Well, wasn't Mad Max, was that dated for 2016?
Oh, is it? That's 2016? I thought that was maybe.
Let me check. I'll get some facts going here. See what we have. Was there a Nintendo game that was delayed? Well, I mean, Metal Gear Solid was dated,
confirmed later than people thought it would be.
Yeah.
September 1st, which is fine. I mean, I'm okay with that. But I think a lot of people are disappointed because they expected it a lot sooner. I think because originally, you know, like early spring was being bandied about,
uh-huh.
And then there was a big rumor that it was going to be June, and then. the September date was announced, and then some other news happened there, which we should talk about in a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But that's kind of a, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Okay, I was wrong about Mad Max. It's coming out later this year.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was the 25th. Isn't it coming out on like almost the same day as Metal Gear?
I think it's August.
Okay.
But
it's like within like the same weekend or something.
Yeah.
I think,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, I just feel like it's like, what is there to look forward to?
Yeah. Maybe that was it. Either. Maybe that was it. That it was just, that was the one big shining Sony gem that I was like, well, here, this is it, I guess. Now it's gone.
Bloodborne, that's come out in just about, just what, 3 days?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So you can play that for the rest of the year.
Yep.
Maybe it'll be hard enough.
It's so hard.
That's their plan. Just announce that one extra DLC dungeon.
Oh no, you don't need them, man. That's these dungeons, like they're like, it's like a roguelike dungeon, so you have unlimited dungeons. You don't need DLC.
Pretty sure that that's going to be dumb.
Yeah, agreed.
Pretty sure that that's going to be dumb, and probably wasn't directly worked on by the guy who makes the games.
Kind of antithetical to the whole like design of the Souls games, where you're like, I'm going to learn this kind of pattern, understand this, master it. Nope, it just completely changed and it's totally different now. What the fuck?
I mean, there's something to be said for like being adaptive, and I think that a lot of punishing roguelikes kind of like force you to be that way, like Spelunky. Yeah. Like Spelunky is all about adapting to your circumstances, but I don't really see that as, it's more pattern recognition for sure.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it's just otherwise completely barren.
Completely barren.
I think Halo might come out this year.
Sure. Microsoft is going to need something.
Yep. But yeah, it's just, there's nothing to look forward to, and to top it off, there's a lot of not so great news to go along with that. Should we just get to that elephant?
You
want to
blow
room,
it up? Let's not diddle that
dance
here.
Around it anymore. Uh-huh. All right, we can get there. Yeah. You want to hit on the Nintendo?
Tell me about the biggest news that had happened.
The biggest news that has happened.
Tell me.
Shit.
About it.
Well, I think the Nintendo news is bigger, but we'll talk about the other happened.
Yeah, fair point. Okay.
We'll talk about the other one, which just happened, which is that there was some internet sleuthing going on because Konami put out like a list of their
executives
structure, essentially. That might have been like a quarterly thing or something. I don't really know. And people quickly noticed that Hideo Kojima was not on it. And they basically asked Konami, and Konami made some evasive remarks. And then a story broke, I think, on either CNET or GameStop or GameSpot or something, that Kojima is basically getting like locked out.
Yeah.
like not only is he not going to be with the company after this year, and he's currently working as like a contractor.
Yep.
He also like is not being copied on company emails, and it sounds crazy.
It does.
And I don't know what the hell happened over there. I mean, Konami are like, they're morons, but
yes.
I don't understand why they would do this.
Well,
this
then
is crazy.
Wasn't
for them.
The other thing that most recent news was them releasing that press release saying Konami will continue development on the Metal Gear series and is already working on the next game. We're hiring staff for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're acting like nothing's up. They're like, yeah, you know, we got Kojima. We're going to keep collaborating with him, which is weird because he's a vice president, or he was. Anyway.
I don't think that they said that. They said that he's going to continue his work on this Metal Gear game to put out Phantom Pain. And that's the quote from him, like, let's do our best and give 100% on this game. And then that was Kojima's quote. Then the final little stinger on that was them saying, we are continuing to work on the Metal Gear Solid. We have the next game in the pipeline, and we're looking to hire staff for it. Which is bazonkers, because they just took that LA studio and rebranded it, the Metal Gear studio.
Yeah, they took his name off the online boxes.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Yep. I don't understand it. Do they think that if they just remove the name, it's like, people don't forget that he worked on them.
Yeah.
It's the most Japanese punishment of all time. It's like,
yeah.
Like, oh, don't worry, nothing's wrong. And then, like, you load up the internet and you go to look at your own page, and then you're not there.
Yeah. You're like, hey, where's my Wikipedia? Oh, God.
Kojima is found dead in a ramen bar, killed by the Yakuza.
Man, that would be the best last Instagram picture from him. Just a bowl of noodles face first.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way that they've explained it is, like, they're saying they're trying to restructure and, like, re-centralize to one headquarters. And it makes a lot of sense.
I think they had said that before this news broke. Like, I think they said that, and then they put out a list, and then suddenly Kojima was gone. It wasn't like you know, oh, we're going to do something with Kojima Productions, because that's gone too.
Uh-huh.
It was just like, you know, we're gonna work on some moving stuff around, and then it was like, oh my God, they fired him.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they telegraphed it. It was just like everyone just thought, like, oh, they're gonna, you know, maybe Konami will stop being idiotic and, like, you know, work on creating a structure so they can actually make video games.
Yeah.
But no, actually, they're getting rid of the last bastion of their console video games.
Yep. The last creative face, face of their company, almost the last face of any Japanese company, besides Nintendo, of course.
Pretty much, Yoshinori Ono still around. There.
He is the last
dude. Is just dying.
Yep. Him. Well, okay. I guess my statements.
And Sakurai are, like, literally being killed.
They're just grinding pieces of his flesh up and pressing into Street Fighter discs.
Well, didn't he have to go to the hospital? Like, he was, like, working, and they worked him so bad that he, like, was hospitalized, and then they made him go back to work the next day.
Yeah, he had a pretty candid and interesting interview, I think, with a Destructoid person. It was pretty raw.
Yeah, well, he makes no bones about, like, his... Like, he makes it clear that he is not Capcom.
yeah. The weird thing was, though, he was out promoting a non-Street Fighter game recently. I don't recall what the game... Maybe it was...
Deep Down, probably.
Yeah.
Which he worked on Deep Down.
Oh, I didn't know he did that. I just assumed that they don't have anybody left, and they're like, I don't know, put Ono out there.
Oh, we could talk about Breath of Fire 6, too, speaking of Capcom, but I don't even want to go there. I don't want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
All right, well... Let's wrap Metal Gear talk up, because I think that, you know, we could spend plenty of time speculating what the future
holds.
Well,
I just wanted to mention as well that it's really interesting, because people have been, like, all over the place on this thing, and nobody can really figure it out. I guess the initial article said there was some kind of power struggle going on, and I could kind of see that. Like, a lot of people were saying, like, oh, you know, don't make Konami a black and white villain, even though they are just completely inept, and they have a history of essentially, like, screwing over people who, you know, I remember Jim Sterling was blacklisted by Konami because he ripped into one of their games, and they just stopped sending him review code.
Huh.
And they acted like nothing was wrong, and he literally had to hear from the American branch of Konami that some Japanese bigwig, like a vice president over there, like, read one of his reviews and decided that he would no longer be allowed to receive Konami products.
did they block his Metal Gear Online MGO account?
I don't know. But yeah, what I was going to say is, so one reading of it is that, like, there was a power struggle and he was locked out. Another reading is, like, everyone's leaving, like, because the Love Plus guy just departed. And I guess someone else, are you familiar with Tomei Iki or something?
No, I'm not.
It's some Japanese series, something like that. He basically the major figures that are still making non-mobile games at Konami all left, like, en masse in the past month. So another potential reading is that, like, everyone is just leaving this company, and maybe they're just going to go all in on mobile. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, the Japanese games market is impossible to read. You know, we can speculate as much as we want, but it doesn't look great regardless.
Yeah, the one thing we'll always know is that it will always get a little bit worse.
Yes. The entropy of Eastern game design.
Yeah.
I think that's, what is that, the fourth law of energy?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm. Coined by an anime version of Newton.
Kawaii!
An anime version of Newton that was joined by a lolly girl, a robot that he had somehow made, even though it's completely anachronistic.
I think you're describing the next Professor Layton.
And a Beast Man. Let's not forget the Beast Man.
Oh, sexy Beast Man. Speaking of which, you want to talk a little bit about that Breath of Fire 6?
I think you're more excited about it than I am.
I am excited.
There's a Breath of Fire 6. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people know about that. It's a mobile game.
There's a hella anime trailer out there.
Yeah, there is a hella anime trailer. I guess it's interesting that Breath of Fire 6 exists because it's maybe the first, like, kind of, I'm not going to say major, but like the first significant series to be ballsy enough to do a numbered entry on mobile, which kind of reminds me of like Dragon Quest IX on DS when everyone was like, "Rumpf."
Yeah. well, then what?
Dragon Quest on there.
Or Final Fantasy XI being online. It's like, that's impossible. You can't do that.
Yeah. Except Dragon Quest IX was like actually good and Final Fantasy XI was.
I don't know enough about it to hate on it, so.
Yeah, it's definitely momentous. I mean, it's something that, you know, when you put a number after your game, people have to take notice, even if it's Sonic 4. Like, people have to pay attention.
Ugh.
So that was definitely, I know, that was definitely a calculated move. But, yeah, that trailer, it looks pretty generic.
Oh, totally. Yeah, really forgettable trailer. It looks like Breath of Fire 4 Redux.
It doesn't even look like that. It doesn't look like a Breath of Fire game. It looks like Sword Art or something. Like there's one like quarter of a dragon flying above the frame. Like, I don't understand how I'm supposed to even know that I'm looking at a Breath of Fire game.
Yeah, I just meant like you've got your Beast Man character, you've got your lady who's kind of angelic, and then you've got your dude who has a sword and a tank top or something like that.
Yep, you got the whole gamut of anime characters represented there. where's like Ryu? Where's like a blue haired Ryu? Show me a Ryu.
That dude looked like Ryu.
He did, but I don't think he was Ryu. He was a Beast Man.
I don't think. Wait, what are you talking about?
You're talking about the Beast Man?
Yeah.
He looked like Ryu, but I don't think he was. No.
Clay was the Beast Man in Breath of Fire 4. Ryu, I thought, was the main character that could turn into the dragon.
He is, but there was none of that.
Well,
there was just a brown-haired guy with a sword.
Yeah. Maybe he has some powers that we are not aware of. There's the villain. You got Sephiroth with new type abilities, so he can control his options around him.
Sure.
Yeah.
that's happening.
Yeah, and there's the Dark Angel and the Light Angel.
Yep. They were like apart from each other because. You gotta have the two ladies upside down.
The imagery
going up and down. Is that just like choose which one you want? Is that what I'm supposed to read from that? Like, which of these anime teenagers do I want to have sex with? And I just choose.
I don't know. It's an anime trailer for Breath of Fire game. It is essentially meaningless. but some screens did leak from it, and Jeff, I think you were pretty grossed out by them.
I was. I saw like a gigantic chat window or something. Uh-huh. I saw a bunch of little Korean MapleStory avatars standing around.
Yep.
That does not look like a game. Doesn't look like a game I care about, that's for sure.
I'm still willing to give it a shake. In the previous Breath of Fire games that actually mattered, there was some like town shopping stuff, weird things like the fairy village. So I kind of got that vibe from it. But I kind of like the art style. Like, it reminded me of a bit of like when Breath of Fire 2, 1 and 2 maybe, got ported to the Advance, the Game Boy.
I never played those ports, but I
kind of liked how they looked.
I'm not wholly against Korean art. I guess I just, when I see those particular things, I know that like it's going to be I think you were like, I can't wait to see it in motion, and I was like, yeah, I don't think there's gonna be a lot of motion.
Yeah,
because it's just gonna be still pictures.
Well, I mean, there was a battle.
Is gonna be still pictures.
You think so? Yeah, I would hope there'd be some frame loops.
Probably. I don't know. I'm skeptical, but I appreciate your optimism.
Hey, at least it's not a card game, right? Right.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, and I also
I do like card games, though.
Yes, we do. We
I played Chain of Memories.
Oh, what is Chain of Memories?
Kingdom Hearts, Chain of Memories.
Oh, yes.
I did not play Recoded. I played it on the GBA.
Good man. Yeah, the pure version.
It was all right. It was the beginning of the ridiculous Kingdom Hearts stories, but it was fine.
Mm-hmm. You know, Capcom has kind of used Dragon Quest as more of an experimental franchise. Like,
you mean, Breath of Fire.
Breath of Fire.
The other Dragon game.
Yeah. Well, it was, they called it, the fifth one was Dragon Quarter?
Dragon Quarter, yeah.
Which is why I keep coming back to that. But that,
That's one I want to play, because that one sounds crazy town.
Yeah,
that's the
does.
Experimental one.
Yeah.
Where the game is only like, what, like 75 days long or something?
Yeah, it's super weird, and the combat's super weird too.
Yeah, I don't recall the exact particulars of it, but something strange is going on there.
Yep.
But yeah, they definitely have used it, like you said, as their experimental kind of thing. But it's just, I guess I feel like it was more acceptable when Capcom had like a stable of IP that they used.
Yeah.
Now when it's like one of the only games they got left and they have no real creative talent over there right now, it's like, oh, another one bites the dust. Great.
Uh-huh.
Just continuing that awful trend of Japan's talent drain.
Yeah.
And the sad thing, like going back to Kojima for a second, the sad thing is after these developers strike out on their own, I think there's a lot of optimism, but like we don't have any proof yet that they've done like amazing things on their own.
Yeah.
Like I think the sad reality is that without a big studio, these people don't really have a niche, because there's no real small development and other than mobile, you know, like there's not really an indie scene.
Right.
So they go to Kickstarter and like, you know, what's his name? Who's the Mega Man guy?
Inafune.
Yeah. He's making, Mighty Number Nine, which looks fine. I mean, maybe it'll be good.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I feel like they're not going to ever be, or like Matsuno, the guy who makes Tactics. Like,
yeah.
You know, they get to do interesting stuff, but it's not, the loss is felt. And I don't think they ever really regained their former kind of glory.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
it's just sad.
I think you're right. That does seem to ring very true that, you know, maybe without the studio backing them, they're not going to be able to create like they created before.
It just kind of seems like there isn't really like an apparatus for like being one of these people and then kind of getting a second chance to do interesting projects. Like, I don't know, maybe they need to go westward, maybe there's just not even anything like that in the West.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like it's never really worked out well when these people have left. Like I've never seen it, unless they get picked up by like Platinum. Like
that's the
exception. And maybe Kojima will get picked up by Platinum.
That would be pretty amazing, but that'd be a lot of personality in one small spot.
It would be. Yeah, that'd be a bit of a problem. But I mean, he does have a working relationship with them, you know, through Metal Gear Rising. He clearly has respect for what they do. More so than he has for his own people. Because he just badmouths them constantly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I'm disappointed. And the disappointing news just continues to pile on with the whole Nintendo business.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's move into the Nintendo business.
Sure. For some reason, just kind of completely out of nowhere, it wasn't even on the radar of people in the West, or at least not in a big way. Nintendo just had a press conference, and they were like, hey, we're going to make mobile games now.
Surprise.
Surprise. We're partnering with, and I think this is DNA.
DNA,
that's how it's pronounced.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. But... yeah, they're like, we're going to partner with DNA and we're going to make a unified account system that's like better than the one we have now, which is cool. But they were like, also we're going to do mobile, and they were kind of vague about it. It sounded like pretty much everything was on the table. You know, freemium.
Yep.
Yeah, what did you gather? I gathered a couple of things, but what did you pick up, Griffin?
I don't know. My Nintendo ESP is not nearly as honed as yours is. But in regards to like what they're producing, I did hear a follow-up statement that from another source that I was listening to, where they said that they on the mobile platform, they're not limiting themselves to any like one specific venue. Like they're essentially the quote made them sound like they're saying, yes, we could do freemium. We could do actually like a big budget game. Like we don't want to limit ourselves. So that's kind of cool.
And I guess that's kind of cool.
And then they also announced the next platform.
They did. The NX. And I have a really interesting article about that, which I should mention when we get there. But I kind of wanted to stay on the mobile for a minute.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's a lot of, I don't know. First of all, I'm really concerned about it. I will be honest. I'm really afraid that now that they've like kind of couched out to what investors want, I'm really afraid that every time they like put out a game, investors are going to be like, this game would be a lot better if it was free and it was on mobile. And I think it's going to be really hard to you know, resist that. I feel like this is my concern. I feel like look at every other Japanese publisher that's mobile right now and look at what happens to their dedicated gaming, you know, arm, essentially.
Yeah.
It becomes a joke. It becomes, you know, Capcom or Konami.
Right.
I'm just really afraid that that's going to happen to Nintendo. And that just that disappoints me because I don't feel like, I don't know that they can do on mobile what they do with their dedicated hardware.
Yeah, I understand the fear, but, you know, if there's one, you know, unmovable mountain of game design, it would be Nintendo. You know, I can't see that affecting them in a way that would affect, you know, another company that is just kind of like a Konami or a Capcom or, you know, like you mentioned, you know, Nintendo's been doing it longer and better, and they have the hardware side of it. Like they understand the hardware.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I definitely feel like Nintendo is always playing the long game, which I think has been one of their advantages. I mean, you know, they can weather, a bad year, a bad generation, unlike a lot of other companies. But I guess I feel like they were always kind of playing the long game in not going mobile.
Yeah.
And them going mobile is like, oh my god, what are you guys doing? You're playing the short game. This is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's actually founded, but I'm definitely concerned about it. And then there's just a lot of like really there's stuff that's not necessarily concerning, but I'm very curious about. Like, I feel like they've kind of danced around who's going to actually be developing these games.
Yeah.
There have been some statements to the effect of like, well, Nintendo's going to probably mostly work on them, but like, I feel like they haven't been like these are going to be Nintendo made games. And I'm curious, like, are they going to be? You know what I mean? Like, are they going to farm these out to like known, like well-known mobile developers? Like, I don't know. I guess there's a lot of possibility there.
Oh, so you think it's going to be more of like Nintendo presents?
It could be
Dragon Puzzle and Dragons for the 3DS.
Yeah, Nintendo presents, you know, Mario in, you know, I don't know, Bejeweled 5
in,
you know,
in
search for the gold coins.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. I don't know what's going to be done there. I mean, I understand it's just a way to get quick cash to make Nintendo like profits, essentially.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I want to see it become part of a unified strategy to get people to the home hardware, but I'm not convinced. I don't think them saying NX convinces me of anything. I'm going to be honest.
No.
I don't know. What was your reaction to NX? Did you have any takeaways?
No, not really. I mean, again, I think it's all just too early to tell anything. This was definitely like an investors focused meeting. This is like ringing of like NFP levels of
for like sure, for
detail
sure.
on stuff. Like undoubtedly, yes, they are going to be making a new system, but
do you think that Game C will be coming to NX?
I'm praying that it is. Oh yeah. With people so adamantly speculating that this will be the crossover console, I don't, like, I'm not ready to throw my hat in any one of these rings yet.
I don't think it's set in stone at all that it's going to be the crossover console, to be honest, because a lot of what they've said recently is that we're not making a crossover console right now.
Yeah.
In fact, what they've actually said is like, hey, we might make another console, like another device that sits alongside existing devices, or like we might make like three form factors next time.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, so it is. Yeah, go ahead.
I just don't understand why the jump to, like, people. I believe it's you're not, it's short-sighted to be looking at it without the business angle when you're saying, oh, yeah, well, they'll just make one device that does the job of two because that's happier and consumer-friendly. And, oh, the Wii U is not really selling that well anyway. Yeah, but like, you're just going to chuck out one device? That's cutting your profits and your potential for profits in
half. Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
And the thing is, the Wii U, like, console side is so integral to the Western market, and the handheld side is so integral to the Eastern market.
Uh-huh.
So for them to ditch either one of those is to basically give up on one market or the other.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'll do that. I think that they've definitely indicated that there's going to be some cross-porting, like a lot of that mm-hmm. going on, whatever they do.
Oh, you mean transferring?
Pretty much, yeah. which would be it'd be a clever way to, I think, appease both markets. And for someone like me, like, I think a lot of Western market would be like, oh, I'll just buy the console version. Mm-hmm. For someone like me, like, that's a real question. Like, I might buy the handheld version. I don't care if it's not as graphically impressive. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to play handhelds because I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the big focus is definitely on just kind of making the architecture similar enough that they can port. And also, like, you know, kind of unifying the code and unifying the back end. And I guess Dina will help with that, or DNA, whatever.
Yeah, DNA.
But yeah. And actually, it's interesting. I read a big article, or not big, a little like kind of theory crafting piece by Chris Kohler breaking down a whole bunch of statements. And he pretty adamantly thinks that it's going to be some kind of portable form factor for NX. He doesn't think it's going to be a Wii U successor.
Okay. Okay.
Or if it is, it's going to be portable. And yeah, he more thinks that though that it's going to be something that somehow incorporates enough of the Wii U architecture to like be interoperable with it. But he's like very squarely in handheld category, which is really interesting because I think so many people are like, oh, it's a new console.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll keep doing Wii U stuff. I don't know what a new console gives them. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I don't know.
It also just seems really weird to announce that you're creating a new console when there's so much just hanging, like teetering on the edge of promise already, where you're like, hey, check out this Zelda game. Everybody's like, wow, that's crazy cool. In engine?
Yeah.
Really? Is it really in engine?
No, I mean, you saw that other footage. It's in engine doesn't even mean real time. It just means in engine.
Right.
Means, well, you can, yeah.
But then, and then they're like, well, this, you know, first we're going to get Star Fox out the door. what?
Yeah. There's a lot of weird stuff going on over there. And yeah, it'd be weird to be like, oh, you know, we're going to get all this stuff out this year. By the way, next year we're going to announce a new console. And I think that's why they wouldn't even say, you know, is this a handheld? Is this a console? They want to keep it as vague as possible so people just kind of forget it exists.
Yep.
But, I mean, one possibility is just that they put something out there which exists alongside these platforms, and maybe it offers some benefits and it goes a little bit beyond, but, you know, who knows with Nintendo?
Yeah.
I do know for sure, because they said it, that somehow or another, the account system is going to be integral to this product.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting.
Very much so.
I can't really imagine what that means, but maybe that just references the fact that there might be multiple form factors. I'm not sure.
Finally, achievements. That's what it means.
Their achievements are somehow going to be so stupid and delightful. Like, they're just going to get it so wonderfully wrong. Like, they're going to have to, like, friend codes are going to be involved.
Oh,
somehow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You unlock the achievement, but you can't actually show it to anybody.
Yeah.
It's completely.
You want to view it, you have to enter your password every time you view the achievements.
Only Iwata sees what achievements have been unlocked.
You unlock achievements, but you lose them at the end of the play session because they don't want their players to become big headed. Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's you know, it's always exciting when they talk about new hardware, and I guess it takes the edge off a little bit. I'm still really concerned about how assertive of a move it is into mobile, especially for such a slow moving company.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess they bought I think they bought what, 10% of DNA or something like that.
Yeah. They traded, flip flopped it.
Yeah. They did some stock exchange or whatever, and then DNA got 1%, I think, of Nintendo, which is small, but. Mm-hmm. You know,
and then their stock shot up immediately after.
Oh yeah, 30% stock increase because those investors love mobile.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's weird times. It's a year that just feels wrong.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Yeah, you ruined it, Griffin.
I did.
It also just makes me concerned. Like, I'm glad Nintendo's still making, like, it's funny because Sony and Microsoft have managed to make Nintendo's, like, sparse release schedule look populated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I feel like their best, like, Nintendo's best friend in this generation have been their rivals, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Because it's been the only thing that's kept the Wii U looking relevant, because there has not been a torrent of releases on either the Xbox One or the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a weird, weird thing. Like, why are we here and there's nothing?
Right. This.
Why is that happening?
Everybody was, you know, you included, I believe, were saying this is the end of the consoles. Nobody's going to buy consoles. This next generation is going to be a big flop. And, yep. You know, completely contrary to that, everybody goes out and buys consoles. And now everybody's sitting here and they're like, why did we do that? So if anything's boned, it's the next cycle when people are, you know, gunshy. They're like, "Oh, I bought a console last year, but nothing happened. So why am I going to buy a new one?"
So here's my thing: I'm not an accurate judge because I irrationally love my PS4, and my love of it is like, "Oh, it's so geometrically interesting. These menus are really satisfying." Whereas I think the average human being is like, "Why are there not games that I can?" Well, I know they're probably like, "Oh, yeah, Madden came out. Sweet."
Yeah. But yeah,
it's just weird, and it's troubling that it's so barren and that nobody's stepped up. I mean, is it just that all the major players have fallen out and I never noticed until now, or are there a lot of studios that haven't said anything? I guess there's Bethesda. They're having an E3 conference this year.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be good. Some Fallout is nice.
I hope.
But it's just it's just been like really, God, it's been. That train is just slow to speed up. So I don't know. It's a weird time.
Yeah. Hey, do you like trains? We'll bring Horse from the previous generation back.
Horse? That was a game?
That was a really
is that like Life with Horses?
It is. Yeah. Life with Horses. My Pet Styles.
Imagine Babies fashion.
This up-rezzed. HD.
Imagine Babies remastered.
Now in 3D.
Can we predict the next remaster? I think you had a good candidate.
The Criterion Collection. I had a good candidate for the next remaster.
Oh, just The Last of Us again. or The Order with an even worse aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Those were your two great ideas. But yeah, no, we definitely need to have Criterion Collections of games.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got those Xbox double packs now. The Xbox One double pack where you get two games and one now.
They just continue not selling products, so they just need to keep bundling and bundling.
Yeah, we have these discs.
Just recursive bundles.
Yeah, this is a bundle, the double pack.
What's bundled? What games?
Ah, boy, you're putting on me on the spot. I'm going to say maybe Forza and... I don't know. I don't think it's Sunset Overdrive, but it's probably going to be something first party, right?
Shooters.
Yeah, I would imagine it'd be first party though, right? Like, because Forza is made by them.
Maybe Master Chief. I don't know.
Hey,
Master Chief, it works now. That's news. I don't think it worked when we last met.
Yeah, right. People are happy.
I guess so. I mean, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a weird time.
Yeah, it really
is. I've still been playing stuff since then.
Have you? What have you been playing?
I'm going to find out by clicking on this list that I have called Jeff 2015 Games Played. I'm not going to talk about all the stuff I've played because that'd take forever.
Yeah. Anything that came out this year that was notable to start off with?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about a couple things that I played this year. And you'll probably fill in some gaps. It'll be, let's say, about four things. One game that I played this year. Not really noteworthy to talk about, but kind of. Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the clay aesthetic one, right?
Yes, that was the clay aesthetic one, which is a spiritual successor to Kirby Canvas Curse. And it made a lot more sense to be drawing a line on the screen in Canvas Curse because it was like a painted world.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nintendo, in classic Nintendo fashion, took that gameplay and was like, instead of paint, it's clay now. And it's the same mechanics somehow. Even though you're not painting anymore, but you're still painting. But it's a great game. It's basically, if you guys aren't familiar with Kirby Canvas Curse, it's not kind of also like Yoshi Touch and Go.
Okay.
Essentially, it's one of those games where, and it's, I think this has been on the PC from time to time, you draw a line and your character can pretty much only traverse that line. Like, you can draw a line on the environment and they can go over the line as if it were like a solid surface.
Okay.
So the way that the gameplay will work, this will be like, you'll be on the ground, you can tap your dude and he'll dash. And there'll be like stairs and you can't go up the stairs because you can only dash. But if you draw a line crossing the stairs, you can go up the line.
Oh.
And you have some limits as to how much you can draw. Like, I think you have a meter and it fills up quicker if you're on the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, it auto refills, but it fills really fast if you're on solid ground.
Huh.
So you have like a limitation built in the mechanic, but it's surprisingly intuitive. It's surprisingly interesting to interact with the game in this way, because it's kind of this weird like indirect control style.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I think stuff that was kind of like done, I think early, like Yoshi Touch and Go, which I referenced before, is a game that kind of used something like this for some of its mini games, but it was kind of more proof of concept. But like, I feel like with Rainbow Curse, this whole idea kind of comes into its own, and you get a lot of really interesting types of gameplay that come out of it. And just like some interesting kind of level design built around this thing. Sometimes like you'll have like, there'll be a wind current that's pulling you up, and instead of using the line to like bring your character up, you're using it to bound your character so they don't fly off the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Okay.
And like, when you enter water, physics will be different. So like, you have, once again, you have to kind of hold your character down with the line.
Uh-huh.
And there's little quirks like
push him under the water.
You gotta drown Kirby.
Drink it all, Kirby. Quirks. Drink it.
Well, he can drink it all, probably. Yeah. Dude doesn't care.
Nope.
But you can draw like a loop-de-loop and your character will speed up. And they have some cool, like really charming vehicle transformations in there too, where you can continue using your lines to like deflect projectiles and stuff.
Hmm.
And they have some later levels where like you can actually draw a path through the, like you get plopped in the level. It's kind of a one-off thing. You get plopped in the level and then you're looking at a map of the level and you can actually draw a path that you should take through the level. And then you have to make your way through the level on a timer and you can follow the path you drew. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on. It's one of Nintendo's kind of $40 budget titles. And some people didn't like it. It was kind of, kind of a love it or hate it thing. Like, some people gave it high marks, other people really crapped on it, nobody really in the middle. I like it. I think it's fun. The one thing that I would say is kind of weak about it is that the original on DS made a lot of sense because both screens were kind of like in the same place and you could look at both, whereas all that happens on the Wii U is you have the same image on both screens, but you have to look at the gamepad because you're literally drawing on the screen. So there's all these beautiful visuals, and you can't really appreciate them because you have to look at the gamepad the whole time.
Oh.
Yeah, which kind of sucks. And I guess some people have, like, taken the effort to kind of paw at their screen blindly until they figure out where the lines are and learn to play without looking. But basically, if you're a normal human, you have to stare at your gamepad the whole time, which feels weird.
Yeah. Huh.
But I like that type of game. I think I really enjoyed Canvas Curse, and I think this is a worthy follow-up. But you have to just kind of accept that you're not going to be getting kind of the typical, you know, beautiful, how the hell did they get those graphics on the Wii U experience? Because you're just going to be looking at a gamepad with crushed dreads, you know? It's going to be kind of, it'll be fine, but it won't be jaw-dropping the way it could be. So there's that. I've been liking that.
Okay.
I will also touch on Hotline Miami 2.
Okay.
Playing a lot of recently. I think I'm pretty close to finishing.
Oh, I thought you were kind of cold on it.
I was kind of cold on it. I like playing Hotline Miami, though. So in that way, it's still fun. Okay. It's Hotline Miami with a mod pack for new levels that just aren't quite as good.
Sweet.
Like, they're still good, and they're really hard. They're way harder than the first game, which is kind of annoying, but kind of fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're too long. The levels are just way too long. And the story, which was never like a high point for me, kind of just gets bizarre and ponderous. And the whole game is just really long. And I don't Like, I don't want my Hotline Miami experience to be like a 12-hour game. Like, I want it to be over in like 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want a really tight experience with fun, like, kind of puzzle box levels. I mean, I can talk about the gameplay quickly. Essentially, it plays kind of like a twin stick shooter. But it's like a top down view where you're just a dude who enters buildings and kills everyone in the building, and one hit will kill you.
Yes.
So essentially, it's just like really twitchy. You'll die a lot, and you'll have to restart the level, and it's really easy to restart. You just hammer a button, and you're back in it.
Yeah, feels good. Quick
yeah,
restart, always a good thing.
Really kinetic, really gory, cool weapons and stuff. It's cool. But yeah, it doesn't really work when you have to maintain that level of tension for like a 20-minute level. Like,
I could see that being a big bummer.
It is. And that's what's happening at the end of the game. Like, I'm close, and I want to beat it just for the sake of beating it, essentially.
Yep.
Levels are so long. And it's just, there's no respite. It's just like 20 minutes, 20 minutes, huh. 20 minutes. And don't try to quit partway through the level, because
don't you dare, don't you do it.
You have to start all over again. So it's getting draining, and it sucks, because it's a cool game and I wanted the sequel to be better than the first, but it's really not. Music is great though. I do like the music.
Good. Yeah, that was a high point of the first game.
Definitely. Yeah, a killer soundtrack. Once again, a lot of the same people.
Okay,
that's
now,
a good thing.
My biggest question for you, Jeff, is what vehicle are you playing it on? What device?
PC.
Okay.
I can't play that game on an analog stick.
Yeah,
it doesn't
me either.
I do WASD and mouse, because I don't know how you would even aim if you had to use something as slow as an analog stick.
Yeah,
and
I'm not
like PC master race at all. Like, I love consoles, and I think there's something special about a couch game.
Yep.
But I can't do it on anything else.
I ran into the same situation on Hotline Miami, the first one, where I just, you know, I played it on the PC. I had a working PC at the time, and I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. But I would like it to be playing this not at a computer. And then when it came out on Vita, I'm like,
yeah, I was really excited for the Vita version, but the execution is just, it seems poor to me, but I don't think I speak for everyone, because a lot of people experienced it first on console and they had a great time with it.
Yeah.
So if it's not any worse to control than the first one. So it probably plays just about the same as it did, on console the first time around.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't think it quite matches the heights of the game, and the story is just—it's just stupid. I mean, there are parts of the story that I liked in the first game, but there's nothing that I really care about in this game. It's just completely off the rails. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a little bit of a disappointment. I'm still having a good time, you know, kind of smashing faces in and stuff, though. So it's got that.
Nice. What else you playing?
Other games I'm playing, Ori and the Blind Forest, and I won't say a lot about this. I feel like we should get Jamie in here to talk about how great this game is, because I just kind of don't get it. Like, for me, like, I played the beginning, I watched a lengthy cutscene that was designed to kind of stoke emotional fires. You know, the big fat guy? I'm just going to tell a spoiler that happens literally 5 minutes into the game. Big fat guy is not the character you play in the game. That big fat guy just dies. He dies, and that's the motivation for the little furry alien dude. And I say furry, like, not actually furry, but, like, furry-friendly.
Oh, okay.
the little alien dude to go venturing off. And there's a story that I guess is being told, but I don't care at all. It's like, they've done nothing to make me care.
Yeah.
I just don't care. And I wish I did, because apparently it's good. I can't even comprehend it, but apparently it's good. And it plays, you know, it's Metroidvania, and I like Metroidvania, but I guess I'm just really picky about my Metroidvania, and I want it to be kind of like a certain type of thing.
Yeah.
And this wasn't quite it. And I wish I can't really put my finger on exactly why. The jumps feel weird, I guess. The levels, I don't like that style of art for. It's something about it. I want like a more gritty, pixely, chunky. Okay. I'm just really picky. I want things to be very clear, and it's not clear. And I don't want like action-y mechanics. Like I don't want the fighting doesn't feel right for me. There's just these little things that just irk me.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like the level design is okay, but I'm not really excited about it. Hmm. And I don't know. It's a whole host of little things. And, you know, I'll probably go back to it and do another shot, but I found myself already getting frustrated kind of early on, and I understand the game gets a lot harder, so I'm not sure that I'm going to give it any more time. But I want Jamie to come in here, because I think Jamie will have things to say about this game.
Okay.
That make people understand why it's supposed to be good. Because for me, it just wasn't. And
right. He's loving on it, so it would be good to hear a different perspective.
Yeah, it will be good.
And critically, so it's doing quite well, isn't it?
It is. People are really liking it. I mean, I think it looks nice. This is clearly it's bias. It's brought on by not instinctively liking it, but I'm not crazy about their art style either.
Yeah, that was my biggest thing. When they showed that at E3 for the Xbox press conference, I was like, you know, people are going bonkers over it, and it was just completely forgettable.
Yeah, I feel like A Boy and His Blob did that art style better.
Yeah. Well, it also just looks a lot like the Dust and Elysian Tale art style too. Mm. I'm like, it's cool and all that, but
yeah, and the game just feels mediocre to me, and I wish it didn't feel that way, and I want to understand why people like it, because I would like to engage with it more, but it just feels mediocre, and I can't put my finger on precisely why.
Ugh.
But yeah, well, once Jamie is a full doctor in like 40 years, he'll tell us why he likes that game.
Excellent.
Other games I played, I'll start with the lesser of the two in terms of significance to other people, and then talk about the more major one. Elliot Quest, which is another Metroidvania, which I'm actually kind of liking a bit more. It's definitely more humble than Ori in terms of like its aspirations. Like, it's super under the radar. It's got these weird things, like the main menu doesn't have any music. It's just completely silent. You're dropped into the world. It just, there are elements of the game that definitely feel kind of like low budget-y, which is fine. I don't care. But there's definitely like a little spit and polish that probably could have gone into tightening a few more elements.
Sure. This was a Kickstarter game, correct?
I don't know. It may have been. That would make a lot of sense if it were, because it feels like it's a game where like they got in all the good stuff that they could, and they kind of got all of like the important skeletal stuff in.
Yeah.
And they were filling in all the details, and then they were like, oh shit, the deadline!
Yeah.
Get as much done as we can!
It is a Kickstarter project, yep.
Okay. That's perfect. So it makes perfect sense as to why that is a thing. But it's cool. It's fun, and it feels more like the Metroidvania that I want. I didn't mention it's Metroidvania, but it's Metroidvania. It also feels very Zelda too, especially in that there's a weird overworld, and it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what's going on in that overworld. Like, the art in the overworld is great, but the places you can go into are sometimes a little vague, which is Zelda too. Uh-huh. And the NPCs and the stuff they say are a little vague, which is Zelda too.
Yeah.
So it feels a lot like Zelda 2 mixed with Metroidvania, and it's cool. It's fun. I got my first power up. It's a pretty neat power up. Has multiple types of abilities. You turn into a tornado, which can either, if you hit a line of green leaves, you'll zoom across it immediately, like within like a split second, and you'll land on the other side. Or you can suck in power ups, or you can daze enemies. And I like that. I like a power up that has three different uses.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's definitely very unassuming, though. Like, you'll pick up an item, and it'll be like, he'll just hold the item over his head, and they won't say anything about it. You'll just hold it over his head, and then it's like, what did I just get?
Perfect.
I can't tell if it's that way on purpose, or just because they're like, oh shit, we forgot to add dialogue there. And I'm looking at this game. It was made on what appears to be a shoestring budget. The guy asked for $4,000. $4,000.
Wow. Good for that.
Yeah. And I think it's also worth mentioning the art is, I like the art. It's definitely kind of, you know, this, in some ways you might say it's same old kind of retro pixely art style, but it's like slightly fewer pixels than most of these projects tend to have. I think they all kind of tend to fall in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's better for that. It's like the little models are kind of chunkier and smaller and
on the like indie slider of 8-bit to 16-bit, it's like
more towards 8-bit,
medium,
which,
rare.
Yeah, it's bullshit because it's not 8-bit at all. It's got it's got a really nice color palette, but it, you know, you could call it 8-bit if you wanted to, because it's closer to that. But it's good. I'm having a good time with it. It definitely will be a game that I'll just kind of play while I'm chilling. But there are weird, stupid design things. Like, I got bombs, and I used all my bombs. Yeah, I got bombs, and I used all my bombs, and now I just can't find any more bombs.
Sweet.
And I need bombs to progress, and I'm like, okay, why can't I buy bombs anywhere? What's going on here?
With the in-app purchase at 99 cents, you can have bombs immediately.
Shut up. That's one to go mobile. I'm playing it on Wii U, but it's also on PC, I understand.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I would recommend it. It's only $13, which isn't crazy. Maybe people might want to pay less. I had some money sitting on my eShop account, so I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll buy it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so last big release I've been playing is Final Fantasy 15 Episode Duske.
Duske.
Episode Dookie. It's a weird thing, that game.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Well, it's a slice, right? First of all, it's just kind of like the open world slice, so not necessarily representing what the game is.
It's a slice, it's a demo, it's whatever. I don't even know what to say about this game. First thing, the combat seems pretty cool. I like the combat. I like kind of the flow. It's rough. It's got some issues. Like, the targeting is completely screwed up.
Huh.
You will try to target an enemy, and sometimes you'll lock on, and then you'll release the button, and you'll no longer be locked on, even though it's supposed to be a toggle. You'll just, for some reason, you'll just get like you'll kind of lock on, but not really. Mm. Or, like, you'll press the lock on button, and the camera will just rotate 60 degrees, like whiplash, and you'll be locked onto a dude behind you. So there's definitely work to be done there. It's very framey, but you know, once again, it's a demo, but it's very framey. Routinely, you know, probably somewhere in the teens. Yeah, it's definitely noticeable. It's not just me being like, oh, you know, it runs at 27 frames per second.
It's got judder.
Yeah. once every 45 frames, a frame is tripled instead of doubled, and makes panning incredibly intolerable. No, it's actually pretty crappy performance. But I think in terms of the systems, it gets the things right that I need to see in order to care about it and be like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I could be into this. It's not Kingdom Hearts. It plays differently than that because it is an action RPG now. And the warping is cool. The warping is definitely cool. I wish you could do it out of combat because you can only do it in combat situations, which is weird because it would be a great way to just traverse the environment, to just warp around like a doofus. And it also costs MP, which is a bit jarring at first because you can pretty much only warp about 3 or 4 times and then your MP bar is toast. Mm-hmm. And when you run out of MP, you enter this condition called stasis where you're essentially like stunned.
Okay.
Kind of like fall over a bit, and you're very vulnerable to attack. You have to get used to not overdoing it.
Because MP is more like a stamina bar at this point, and less of like a magic casting.
Very much like a stamina bar.
Okay.
But it's got some cool little quirks to it. But yeah, it's very stamina-y. And I'll talk about managing that in a second. I was going to say though, you definitely have to. Yeah. On the subject of managing, you definitely have to not overdo it on warping, because the game kind of makes you want to, because you'll be fighting, like, there's only 3 enemy types in the demo, and you'll be fighting one of them, which is a saber wolf or something, and they're just running around like crazy, like it's a pack of wolves running around. Yeah. And if you want to catch one, you can warp over to it immediately and catch it, but if you warp around too many times, you're out of MP, and then you freeze and they start wailing on you. Huh. So you have to kind of balance this annoyance about the fact that they're constantly running away from you. Or so you think. Like, you think you're going to have to deal with this forever. But as you get better at it, you kind of start to understand how to deal with that and kind of utilize the flow of your attacks to kind of catch up to them. Because you only have one attack button. You have two, but you essentially you only have one, like, basic attack button, which is the square button.
Okay.
And you can hold it and just do combos. But you can also, like, kind of time your presses and, like, force your character to do different types of moves, like outside of the normal combo flow.
Uh-huh.
And that can be useful for kind of closing the gap on enemies. Like, there's a move that just is like a gigantic lunge that sends you really far forward.
Oh.
So that can help you close the gap on these wolf guys. And there are other tricks that you can do, like just different little things that you can do to kind of help with managing combat and keeping yourself in the right place. But the other piece of combat that you can do is you have like these like weapons, these sub weapons that you can set to different types of attacks. It's weird. Like you can make it so that when you're doing melee, like you're doing like basic melee, you use like a sword. Mm-hmm. But if you do like a finishing style blow, you use like a pike. Or you know, if you're doing like a warp strike, you use another type of sword. And all the swords have different attributes. Like some of them, I guess, help you recover your MP faster, because attacking causes your MP to fill back up.
Oh, okay.
Others like are more likely to stun your enemy, whatever. So they all have different types of abilities. And then additionally, each weapon has like an innate special ability that you can unleash with the triangle button. And some of them, like the one that I used the most was called Tempest, and it was a sweep essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good for crowd control when you're fighting those wolves, because you might have like four wolves around you, but they're not in front of you, and you just use the sweep and they all fall over and you can just lock onto one and start wailing on it.
Okay. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. It's actually, there's a lot going on, and there's, I think the toys that they give you are enough to really entice you. Cause like you got your sweep, you got your really slow jump attack that doesn't seem to work at first, but you kind of learn how to use it on big enemies and in certain contexts.
Okay.
Then you got like your dash attack, which takes a long time to charge up, which goes through multiple foes.
Hmm.
And then you have a drain attack, which is actually becomes really integral to surviving some of the longer encounters. And the encounters can be really long. The encounters can be like 10 minutes of just fighting mobs.
Is it because more things just keep running over, or are the monsters just so resilient?
Yeah, like you'll go somewhere, maybe not 10 minutes, maybe like 5 minutes. You'll go somewhere and you'll see like what you think are three mobs, but then like eight more run in and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Hmm. And they'll just start wailing on you. And like, you need to be blocking a lot, or else you're just going to start getting destroyed. And you need to be smartly utilizing your ability that recovers your HP, or else you're going to get knocked out a lot.
Okay. And here's the make or break question for me. Is there a counter?
A counterattack? Yes, there is.
So if I do like a perfect block, do you counter? Does your character counter?
You can counter. Parrying is sometimes really easy because the enemy telegraphs it and you have a while to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes really hard because once you get into like an attack animation, it's kind of hard to get out of it. Like you can't auto cancel. This is not Devil May Cry.
Okay. Huh.
So you have to think about it. You can't just rush. It's more. It's not really Monster Hunter, but it's more Monster Hunter in terms
don't say
of,
it.
Like,
don't say it.
In terms of like the scale of where you have to be like attacking rashly versus like kind of more conservative play. It kind of probably tends a little bit more conservative play.
Okay.
Because if you just start throwing out attacks, you're going to get wailed on.
Yeah.
You need to be blocking, and blocking consumes MP, so you can't just do it ad nauseam.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Okay.
Yeah, it's the blocking very slowly drains MP. It's you can block for a while, but yeah, if you do see a dude attacking, it puts like a little like golden claw on the screen, and you can parry him. And then if you hammer the square button afterwards, you can knock him back and then do a huge counterattack that does a ton of damage.
Cool,
which is cool. It's pretty fun. But yeah, all the pieces are there, and it's pretty neat in terms of the combat. But where I am definitely concerned is the story.
Oh, no.
The story seems like it's not... Well, okay. Maybe not the story so much as the characters.
Oh, okay.
The characters
yeah.
seem super bad. Like, just the worst. you got your brooding kind of anime, emo, you know, protagonist dude.
Yep.
Who's just all the bad. Maybe he'll be better in the actual game. He doesn't say a lot in the demo.
Yeah.
Then you got your kind of regal, intelligent, you know, classy. I talk like this.
Oh, perfect. Yeah,
one of those guys. Yep, they're all over anime.
Uh-huh.
Then you've got the like.
Does he wear glasses? You know, please tell me he wears.
Yeah, of course he wears glasses.
Yeah.
Why not?
Does he pose? Does he pose by pushing them up his nose like very elegantly a lot?
I think he may push them up his nose.
Okay.
Then you got like your dumb. Kind of effeminate, like whiner,
mm-hmm.
who's kind of like I guess the closest analog is like Shaggy. Like he's just kind of along for the ride. He's an idiot.
Uh-huh.
He sounds like a lady, which is fine. I don't care that he sounds like a lady, but he's irritating.
Uh-huh.
Because he's so one note.
Uh-huh.
And then you have your kind of your bronze, you know, your open shirt,
Oh.
A couple scars on him, you know, okay. Kind of strong silent type, and it's just so anime.
Oh, that sounds great to me.
It's not. I mean, I like anime, I think.
No. It sounds horrible, but I'm excited to get my hands on it because in the setting, it sounds like it could be interesting. Like, in the road trip, like, let's go on this adventure, like, every...
I guess so.
I'm kind of okay with that. And with how just, like, shitty the Final Fantasy characters have been through the last games, I'm just true. Ready for any... Please bring them back to anime stereotypes, because I can't do this anymore.
But the thing about FF13, like, those characters were bad, but at least they were, like, diverse in terms of, like, their motivations, however ridiculous they were.
Uh-huh.
Like, they felt different, I guess.
Yeah.
These characters don't really feel that different other than their particular stereotype. Probably also because they're all wearing the same freaking thing. They're all just wearing black.
Okay. Well, hopefully you can customize them with real-life branded clothing.
I hope so. Oddly enough, there is a significant Coleman placement in this game. All your characters, when they go camping, they cook delicious-looking meals, which is awesome, and then sit around on Coleman chairs right in front of their Coleman tent, and it's all camping. Great. I am all for camping. That's one of the cooler parts of the game. But yeah, Griffin, I guess they're trying to kind of shoot for that. Like, you know, they have a lot of banter between the party that's kind of supposed to be, like, chummy and... You know, I can see why they were saying that they didn't want men. I don't think that makes any sense that they could have chummy ladies, but
yeah,
they're definitely shooting for, like, camaraderie and chumminess.
Yeah,
in the dialogue, which is okay, I guess. It's worth mentioning that Cindy is probably by far the worst character.
Oh, sure.
My introduction to Cindy was I walked up to her butt as she was messing with the tire in my car and noticed that her butt cheek wasn't entirely covered by her daisy. And then she had a very large breasts, which looked more or less like balloons. And she made a lot of comments, which were not so well veiled, innuendo-esque remarks about giving your lady special parts and stuff.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, she wasn't like winking as she said it, but it was like, I guess I'm supposed to think that, like, I want to put my special parts in her or something. I don't really know.
Huh. All right.
And then it was hilarious because the characters, I think the characters were supposed to be trying to flirt with her, and she was, like, not understanding it. Like, I think the joke was supposed to be like, oh, the characters are flirting with her, but, like, she either brushes them off or doesn't get it. But it was the most wooden flirting I've ever seen in my entire life. It was like the characters would pause for like 4 seconds and then be like, I'll call you again sometime. It was so awkward. And then she'd be like, oh yeah, my dad's always looking for people to talk to. But it was so bad. It would have been great. Like, it could have been funny, I guess. But it was really bad. So I'm gonna go ahead and call it now that the characters are probably gonna suck really hard. Okay. Story could still be good, but yeah, on the whole, I guess I enjoyed most of my time at the demo. I'm really disappointed that the characters seem to suck, but it's fun. It is fun. And that's more than can be said for 13, I think.
Sure. I would love to play that demo. And I'm really excited for the full game to come out because Versus looked really cool through its entire life.
I can't wait to drive because they don't let you do that in the demo. Or ride a chocobo because they don't let you do that either.
Yeah. I think there's a question floating out there of whether or not you'll actually be able to ever drive in the full game or if that's just always going to be on rails.
They kind of made it look like it might be on rails. Well, they said take the wheel, though. So I think you will be able to drive, but I'm not sure where.
Wait,
there are roads.
Who said take the wheel?
The game. When you get the car, you have two options. Uh-huh. So this is great. You get the whole demo is you're getting your car fixed, right?
Uh-huh.
And you have to raise like 25,000 gil, and you do this by killing a behemoth. Uh-huh. And it's cool because you get a summon, and the summons are so over the top and ridiculous.
Great.
And I love it. But you get a summon, you kill the behemoth, you go and you get your car. And then you have two choices. You can either take the wheel or you can go to the next mission, which for some reason they show you like recommended level.
Huh.
Even though the next mission ends the demo. So you go, the first thing of course you click is take the wheel and the game just goes, bup. It's like, bup. Don't do that. You're not allowed to do that.
Oh.
They dangle it in front of you. They're like, hey, you can drive. Not this time, though.
Okay, that's promising. I'm hoping for the option. I'm hoping the option actually gets changed in the full game to just shut up and drive.
featuring music by Rihanna. Instead of Rihanna Ruiz, it's going to be Liana this time.
Oh, no. So many terrible name choices.
But yeah, no, it was good. It was fun, and the combat was cool, like I said. And you're right. It's going to be really nice to play that game, finally.
Anything, please give us anything. Any video game will do.
But yeah, that pretty much covers the major stuff I've been playing. I didn't mention that I've been playing Majora's Mask, but I don't think I need to talk about that because that's a great game and it stood the test of time.
Yeah,
everyone should get it. So yeah, Griffin, what have you been playing these days?
Well, I would love to tell you, but before I do, let's take a break.
Okay.
We never left. Ah, I tricked you.
We've been here the whole time.
Ha ha ha.
You that call from?
What's that?
Who was that call from? Mr. President.
Oh, dun dun dun.
He told you why Kojima's leaving.
Mr. Secretary of Defense.
Mr. Chair of the Department of Homeland Security.
You got it. Inauguration speech.
Anyway, Griffin, you played some games, apparently.
What's the state of my union? Let me tell you.
Oh.
I played some games. Let's see here. Let's start with the big one. Played Dying Light on the PlayStation 4. That was pretty rad.
You liked it, after all.
I did. Yeah, it ended up... I ended up walking away with a good taste in my mouth. It had some flaws, kind of being a little bloated, I think.
I just remember you texted me and you said that you got called the noob at least twice.
There are some low points to that game for sure. Dialogue wise and characters and ending and I don't know. Like all the superficial things I shouldn't say superficial. The things that I usually like in video games, like story and writing and
you know, that nobody else cares about.
Yeah, those weren't that great. They weren't that great in this. But, however, the mechanics were so sound and so much fun that I had a great time playing it and saw it all the way to its end. The parkour was pretty good. It ended up working pretty well.
I was going to say, what do you do essentially? Like, what is it? Tell me about the game. How does it play roughly?
Well, it's a first person. It's a first person perspective game, where you where there's like an emphasis on traversal. It does like first person platforming pretty well because you're running around. The level designs are such to accommodate that there's like ramps everywhere, kind of, and you know, piles of shit that you can climb.
Okay, so Mirror's Edge so far.
Absolutely, yes, 100%.
That interests me.
Yes, yes, and it works really well, and you know, it does the cool kind of like Elder Scrolls thing where the more you use stuff, the more it levels up. So like when you're running around jumping, doing parkour moves, your parkour rank goes up and then gives you access to more tools and kind of just like gives you more resilience or more wiggle room and like missing a jump or like it'll just ends up benefiting you completely.
Awesome. You're saying more things I like here.
Yeah, yeah. And combat ends up being pretty fun. Like it's like mostly all melee until you hit the back end of the game. It's never combat's a challenge because you know the zombies just kind of never end. So it typically is in your best interest to run away. But I mean,
I like the sound of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like environmental hazards you can like, you know, manipulate and I don't know. It just like rewards very creative play, which has a good time.
What does progression look like? Like it's supposed to be kind of Dead Island, right? Like, uh-huh. Is there loot?
Yes, there is. So, you know, your water pipe will degrade and then that breaks. It only has so many repairs and then you have to discard it and get a new water pipe. A French wrench was my personal favorite.
French wrench. You mean a freedom wrench?
Ooh.
Oh!
That didn't get caught in localization.
I thought they were still going through all these games with Patriot Act or something.
So, you know, your weapons are level based, and they have power ratings and stuff like that associated with them. But you know, for me, it took a little while to like release myself from the idolizing a certain weapon. So, you know, you get your like purple French wrench and you're like, oh man, like I'm going to save you freedom. I call it freedom, but it's a French wrench. Freedom. And I save freedom for like, I'm like, if I ever have to fight like a big old beast, I'm going to pull out this one. And then by the time you get to that, you're like, oh, I've already found like, like regular wrench, just wrench. That's like a regular, you know, trash wrench. And that's doing more damage than old freedom would.
That kind of reminds me of like the Saga series with the breaking. I kind of like that degrading weapon thing because it definitely encourages you to kind of like, this is so stupid, but like live for the moment.
It does. I mean, I don't like it in RPGs. It stresses me out too much. But
you have to learn to accept it. But yeah, no, it can be. I'm sure it's stressful sometimes, though.
I think it's easier to accept in this game because it's just like the opportunity to find new stuff and get new weapons is just always available. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe the tension in that regard is a little bit lower.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, like I said, by the time you're finding or you're needing to use your overpowered weapon, you're finding weapons that are also just like on the ground that are going to do a significant amount of work to other monsters.
You mentioned avoiding combat. Like, can you level by not being in combat? Like, Will you lose levels and shit if you don't fight, or like what does that look like?
It's broken out into three things. You've got your like movement, your parkour. You've got your damage, like power, and then you've got survival. And survival, the biggest jumps come when you like complete missions. The other thing is like your survival will go up when you're like, you know, doing side quests or looting stuff. So that's kind of like your it is the one that's like most closely attached to the story.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you can also like kind of go out and just do side stuff and push it up yourself. But it, you know, the unlocks are like you get a discount at the store. That's your next one. Or like it's not like major game changing things. Like if when you get the parkour upgrade, it's like, well, this one now lets me shimmy across a ledge, or so I don't even know if that's actually real. Like I can run up a dude, so that's like a really cool. Like if you're running, you just use him as a wall and run up and like jump off his head. So
and you just get parkour points by parkouring, right?
Yep. It'll be like plus 30, plus 60, and that's all. Yep. So then,
could you like not level combat and be okay essentially?
Yes, you could.
Oh, that's really cool.
You could play that game without leveling combat.
Interesting. I mean, I'm sure you have to fight like bosses or whatever, but
you do. But since you're finding weapons on the ground, you know, there's no real need to like
it
when you're leveling.
Really matter.
Yeah, like there may be a one thing that's like weapons. Like you can, the weapon doesn't take up as much stamina as it would to swing it.
Got it.
So there's incentive
but
that way.
Yeah.
But you don't.
But
need
it's not
to.
Like it's not like your base damage like goes up, and if you don't have high enough base damage, you're screwed.
No, because that's always that's your weapon will always drive that.
That's actually really cool. That sounds that sounds like Dead Island, except it has a reason to have its weird systems.
Yeah, it is definitely one of the games that is better than it has any right to be.
That kind of makes me want to try this game when it's like $10 or something, or $20.
Yeah, you should. I mean, there's also the night cycle, which at night, like, you have these super crazy monsters that are almost like instant kills to you if you encounter them. But then your melee, survival, and parkour are all like doubled or tripled or something like that if you're doing that. So it encourages like stealth. And then if you get caught, it's just like, all right, fucking book it. Like all you do is run. You're just kind of, that's where I think the parkour ends up being really fun when you get like later game, because you're so comfortable with how it flows. You can just kind of run and not have to even look at the screen. Like Hunter and I we both played it, and I talked to him, and he's like, yeah, I would just kind of look at the map, and I got just kind of the feel of how to navigate through a level.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So it's a really cool game. Absolutely.
Here's a question for you. I'm going to ask you to make a prediction.
Okay.
Better or worse than Mirror's Edge 2?
Yeah. I'm going to say better.
Probably, given EA's current pedigree, probably a wise choice.
Yeah. Well, that, and I have kind of different feelings towards Mirror's Edge that we can talk about offline.
Yeah.
This is not the venue for him, because I played another game this year that came out. I played Evolve for the PlayStation 4. Instantly forgettable. squad-based shooter. Each person has like a role where you're trying to hunt the monster. Asymmetrical co-op and counter-op and whatever.
Being the monster sounds cool, is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I never got to play as that one, so it must have been the coolest. Oh. And I can totally see why it would be the coolest one, because you're not having to rely on crappy teammates not doing their job.
Yeah, can we stop with that? Like, I get the co-op game so well, but can we just take a break?
Yeah. Please take a break. It was a bummer. I actually rejoiced when it would be like AI team members, like party members leaving. I'm like, oh, heck yes. Oh, no. Here we go. Now we're talking.
I heard that game, the player base just like dropped like a rock.
No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. That's got to hurt though, because I'm pretty sure they had a lot of confidence in that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I remember the Evolve demon creature thing was in every iteration of PAX for like 3 years.
Well, it did get delayed. It was supposed to come out last year in like October or something, but got moved back.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they're just selling that Evolve Dragon for scratch now. to keep the lights on.
Yeah. I mean, I can totally see where it's like, this is supposed to be like Left 4 Dead kind of a thing, but.
Yeah, yeah.
When it's just when people have their jobs and success is based upon how well each person plays their role. Like, I don't want to play that game. That's why I don't play Dota. That's why I don't play, first-person shooters really competitively online. Like, that doesn't work for me. So,
yeah. Well, it's also a highly, like, it's a competitive market. Like, it's not, like, if you want to rise to the top, you have to be amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like League of Legends and Dota and stuff like that just really, and CSGO, really crowd out everything else. Yeah. You know, it's like you want to get in that holy, trinity or whatever, you better work hard. So
exactly.
That's us.
What part of the mind share are you going to capture at that point?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say just the monster hook sounds cool, but apparently, I don't know. I wish you tried it, because I wanted to hear more about that. But yeah. It sounds like if 4/5 of the time you have to be the other shit, then maybe it's not worth it.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine at the point in which you would play it, or I would be willing to pick it up and try it again, there's just going to be nobody out there.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so I also played Saints Row 4 on the PS4, which I really like that game. But yeah, really nothing notable there.
There the expansion?
There was. So I ended up getting that in a code from Gamefly in my email. It was like, hey, I bet
that's,
you.
That's why you thought you were getting the FF typo code, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
crazy,
it was.
Crazy man.
Well, because that was the only reason. I thought it was on the disc. Like, I thought, like, okay, they're going to put this DLC on the disc. No, it's just a code. So I was
You are Gamefly Jesus.
So they sent me the code, and it's like, I bet you thought you were going to get that get out of hell code. And I said, yeah, I did. And they're like, well, here you go.
And then, it's a standalone game.
Yep, it's a stand. It's they gave me a like a $15 game.
Did they forget to fish the code out of the box, or were you the first person to rent it? I guess.
I don't know. They emailed it to me, which is super weird.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, and it was like a boilerplate GameFly email too. Like it wasn't like Doug from HR is like, hey, valued user, I thought that you would like to have this since you've been on GameFly for like 5 years. No, it was just like,
dear user, find attached codes.
Yeah. Well, but then like written by the raddest skateboarding dog ever.
Is that GameFly's like persona? Like they project like we're edgy.
Yeah, you've seen. I don't know if you've seen their commercials, but it's like,
no, I don't have TVs. So.
Freaking kick in this TV! I'm Blake Griffin. Blah, now I'm a robot. Blah, axe commercial. I don't know. It's going for that like brosif kind of vibe.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, about the game itself, got out of hell. Not great by any means.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
The only cool thing about it is you can play as Kinsey, female character, instead of Johnny Gat. But you're in hell. The flying mechanic is kind of cool. Yeah. Makes the traversal a lot more interesting. But the characters you meet are fun. Like it's like, hey, you know, more goofy shenanigans from the Volition, ex-Volition guys or whatever they are at this point. But I was like, you know. This is not it for me right now. And it wasn't, so I stopped playing. So
it sounds like it was kind of just more of the same without really pushing things in a new direction, which is kind of DLC.
That's pretty much.
If I am a first time purchaser, it's still a worthwhile package though, right? Because you love Saints Row, and it's only like $40, right? Or is it 50?
Boy, that game new right now, I can't tell you. I don't know. I'm guessing okay. 50 since it would have that game packed in. But boy, I think that if you play Saints Row at this point, you have to start by playing Saints Row 3 and then play 4. You'll do yourself a disservice if you just jump right to 4.
So it's still like required reading to play 3 before you play 4, you think?
Absolutely. Yep.
Interesting.
Let's keep going here. The other thing that I played was, I played Dragon Ball Xenoverse. I don't really need to go into that.
No, you should say a thing about it. People like it.
Okay. Well, this game was yet another Dragon Ball 3D movement enabled game where the hook is this time you are a time cop.
They broke the timeline.
They did, yeah. You are.
They broke it.
You have to go and repair the timeline because Vegeta got really purple and glowy and beat somebody up that he shouldn't. So now you gotta.
Sounds about right.
It's essentially like fan fiction, the game, where it's like, what if Vegeta won this battle? What if Goku never died?
Sounds great. Yeah. Sounds exactly like what you want out of those kinds of games.
Since I, for some goddamn reason, played almost all the major Dragon Ball releases in the last two generations, despite my better judgment.
Probably because you're secretly the hugest anime fan of all time.
Yeah, you got me.
Just can't admit it to yourself.
Yep. It was me the whole time. I am Crunchyroll. I'm doing the instant translations. It only takes me a half hour because I know what they're going to say already. I'm like it's like the Minority Report of animes. Like the ball, I wake up, the ball rolls down. I say, he's going to say, "Ah, it's so much power!" Or what?
And all just, according to Keikaku.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you familiar with that wonderful image?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's from Death Note, and it's. The picture, it says, this translation says, just according to Keikaku, and then right above it says, translator's note, Keikaku means plan. It's like, why did you need to tell me that?
That's funny. Okay, so back to this. The beside it being kind of cool if you're like a Dragon Ball fan, I don't know, like someone who has any wherewithal in the Dragon Ball series, it's kind of neat to see that twist finally, where it's like, hey, I'm not gonna fight Raditz. Raditz.
You're not Goku again.
Yeah, you're not fighting Raditz in this situation where you only have X, Y, and Z moves because that's what was happening in the story, and then of course you win, and then what actually happened plays out in a cutscene afterwards. It's like it's just fun little variations on it where it's like, what if Piccolo didn't shoot him with his finger blaster? Then you have to go back in time, and you go back in time, and I played a lady who is only wearing a sports bra and Spanx, which I thought would be very funny to just have that happen and show up in your Dragon Ball game or universe. But then you have like a customizable abilities because you make your own character. Your race and gender affects how you your performance. Of course, the female's weaker. I'm kidding.
I hope you did not choose Saiyan. I'm going to be proud of you.
I chose a lady Saiyan.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
I hate you.
I did.
All right.
I mean, your character has essentially no speaking roles or anything like that. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. You could be anybody. I wanted to be female Piccolo, but not a choice.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I feel like there's so much more to plumb there. Like, they don't have androids, right? You can't be an android.
Don't. Yeah, missed up.
Yeah. A lot of missed opportunities there. DLC.
Yeah, totally. But I was going to say the one thing that almost hooked me into playing a lot more of it was.
Yeah.
So you're going to this like in between missions, in between your writing the timeline. You go to like a hub world, which is like very straight out of like MMO JRPG hub world.
Look pretty bare bones.
Nobody's in this entire place, and you have to walk a bajillion feet to go to the item shop or whatever. Even though in the fiction itself you can fly, but in game you can fly to locations, but you can't fly over here.
So it's the Destiny hub, essentially.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Except Japanese style.
It is absolutely the Destiny hub. Yeah. I have to get in my spaceship and pick this location. Why?
That's silly.
But so despite that being really annoying and silly, occasionally there will be famous Dragon Ball characters that show up in this hub world. So like I saw Piccolo, and I'm a Piccolo fan. And I went up to him and I was like, hi, Piccolo. And I talked to him and he said, hey, now this is again, like you start peeling back the layers too far and things start not making any good goddamn sense.
Keep going.
Okay. But I'm not going to touch that yet. He's like, hey, do you want to be my apprentice? And I say,
hey, do you want to be my apprentice?
He takes off his hat and his weighted gloves and we battle. No, he says, do you want to be my apprentice? And I say, yes, yes, yes. And he says, oh, you don't have enough power level to you know, be on my, for me to want to take you on as one of my, like, a stat. Ooh. One of my stats wasn't high enough. So I'm like, oh, okay. I'll go pump some points into that. There's levels, by the way, and points and stats. And
that's custom, fine. Yeah, I figured as much.
So I do that, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I can finally go to Piccolo and be his apprentice and learn special beam cannon. And fulfill all my childhood dreams. And then he's not there. And I'm like, oh, damn. I'm walking back and I'm like, okay, I'm actually kind of digging this like idea of like, I don't know if you know much about like the, was it Marvel Heroes or DC Universe Online or something like that, where you could essentially apprentice under a famous superhero and their kind of abilities would bleed into you. So
yeah, I understand that exists in this game in some capacity.
Yeah. So I was like, yes. Like I'm gonna go kill some time until Piccolo comes back, and then I go into the next area and motherfucking Krillin is just sitting there and he's like, hey. Hey, do you want to be my apprentice? I'm like, yes, Mondo. So yes, I ended
stupid little disc attack.
I did. But what I found out was like, okay, so you're like, he's like, I guess all the characters have different like ways that you apprentice with him. This is where I think this is actually really cool, because he's like, oh, you just need to be in a battle. So I did. I beat his ass. And then I looked at like achievement list or something else online. It was like, okay, there's six other things until you complete your apprenticeship with Krillin. And I'm like, I have no idea how these are going to proc or when they're going to, because I did more missions hoping that he would unlock other stuff where I can go do more like Krillin apprenticeship stuff. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
And that was when I was like, okay, I'm out. This is too much time invested here, despite how cool I think this is that you could, like, I'm going to be, you know, this famous, I'm going to be Yamcha's steward or something like that. Like, that's what really hooked me.
Hmm. That's pretty cool. It sounds like a fan's dream, which is pretty much, I feel like with these licensed games, that's kind of all you can hope for.
Yeah, that was way more than I planned to talk about Dragon Ball, by the way.
That's totally fine. I was just going to say, my gold standard is still the one where you can just Kamehameha like an idiot with the Wiimotes. But that's awesome. I've definitely heard some positive buzz about it. So it's cool when there's a good Dragon Ball Z game because, you know,
yeah,
it's a show.
Yeah, it deserves something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you always hear about those, like, Naruto games or One Piece games that are, like, bizarrely really well acclaimed. Like, there's, like, positive praise, and it's, like, you don't actually need to show, like, the show to understand it. And you're like,
yeah, there was, like, Ultimate Ninja Storm 2, and I think, like, I can't remember, the Unlimited Adventure for One Piece, right?
Yeah, sure.
It was, like, one of the top-selling games in Japan for months.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yep. So finally, just to touch on the last couple current gen stuff I played Apotheon when it came out on the PlayStation Network Plus. Easily forgettable Metroidvania. If we haven't burnt that word out yet, this show.
Yep.
pretty much uninteresting little like Greek pottery art style with combat.
They all lean too heavily on like combat.
Yeah.
I feel like weird combat systems. I don't know.
Oh, it's combat for no purpose whatsoever. Like
exactly. You're right. You're right.
It's just like, oh, combat. Okay. I'm going to fight this guy cause he's running at me. When I think about the Castlevania games that I liked, you know, it's like you're engaging in combat because you want a special item to drop or you're trying to get a soul in like the DS games.
It's true. Although the original Castlevania, this is a bit of a tangent, combat was super important, and enemies were all there just to fuck you repeatedly.
Yeah. And I wasn't a huge fan of those original ones, so.
Yeah, they're a very different feel. But definitely in Metroidvanias, I feel like enemies, sometimes they're, like in Metroid, I think they tend to more be like tougher.
Yeah.
In Castlevania, they were like puzzles, or like little mini games or something, you know? Like they were just like, how do I get the thing you have?
And I think in Metroid, it was easier to just move past an enemy, too. Where you're just like, I'll just flippy jump past you.
Exactly.
Excuse me, thank you very much, goodbye.
I fought you 8 times. Now I can jump over you. Exactly.
So I got through the tutorial zone, which is like the first area you're playing, and I opened up like the gigantic Mount Olympus world map, and then I just said, no, thanks.
You got farther than I did.
Played a bit of Ollie Ollie 2 on the Vita. That game stresses me out. I played more of it, but I have a hard time with it because I like Tony Hawk, and it's one of the few games that I'm actually good at. So playing this game where it's like I can totally see the Tony Hawk trappings of it, but the execution just doesn't work in my mind because it's
it
like
confounds me.
It's like Street Fighter controls is how I imagine you are frustrated with Street Fighter controls. Yeah. So
I played the tutorial of that game and I just noped immediately. I was like, I cannot do this.
Yeah. I gave it another shake. I'm having
three dimensional chess.
Oh yeah. Right. I played it a bit more and I kind of had a better time with it after I gave it another chance. And finally, I have been playing The Order, or I finished The Order 1886.
Ooh.
Not a good game.
Tell me about that.
No, I don't think I really need to. I'd like to start the timer. It can be, I don't know, two minutes.
Hold on. I'm starting the timer. Wait, go on my command. Okay,
all right,
you ready?
All right, yes. Arf.
3, 2, 1, go.
That game has the shittiest ending and totally forgets what it's doing midway while it's doing it. It's totally a shooting gallery. Don't be deceived by it. You are literally standing behind cover and picking off bad dudes with actually, like, no traversal. Everybody is 100% forgettable. Your character is could be something interesting, and the world could be something interesting. But in fact, it ends up just being like Underworld, the video game, the old timey video game. That's really like Underworld, the television show. If
Underworld
it was set in the Western
England.
Yeah. Really, awesome. just a bummer of a game, but totally gorgeous, great looking game. Relies way too much on QTEs though. Even in its cutscenes, there are sections where a chapter is literally a cutscene.
I heard there were two consecutive.
Yeah. It's not a good game. That's it. Weapons are they were a trick. We were all tricked by thinking that this might be cool. There, you have the thermite gun, and that's it. There's another like rifle that you can charge up with electricity, and that's it. Done. Time.
You did it in a minute and 10 seconds, by the way.
All right.
I was going to say, so basically the order was like a trailer for a shitty comedy where they tell you all the jokes in the trailer.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry you had to deal with that.
I don't even want to get into it. Maybe your end, I'll talk about it on the podcast. And I've told you about it, but just how that game like turns from being a purpose driven, like somewhat interesting narrative to just like this, like, oh shit, we gotta wrap this up. Like it's super awkward.
That sucks. Yeah. Do you think it was, do you think it was development troubles that caused that, or do you think it was just rotten to the core?
I can't say. I mean,
doesn't even matter.
It,
I guess
it doesn't. Like that game is so convoluted, so nonsensical. It just gets up its own butt so like deep that it forgets what it's doing.
You know what makes it all better though?
What's that?
Everything that's going on in this world right now.
Yeah.
Solid gold, Mario.
Yeah, baby. I just look at that and I'm like, hello, retirement.
Griffin and I both went to Walmart on release day and bought Gold Mario Amiibos because we're dumb.
Yep. We each had the most opposite. It was like the odd couple of going and shopping for children's toys.
Griffin's was like completely wonderful as far as I understand.
Yeah,
right?
Pain free. Just walked in there, looked at the shelf, wasn't there. Watched the guy behind the counter and said, "Hey, do you have that gold Mario thing toy?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, here you go."
Mine was waking up at the ass crack of dawn and then standing next to a guy who was buying ammo because Obama was taking it away.
Smart man.
And then walking into the store and talking to an older gentleman. At Electronics, who was like, "These Amiibos are gonna be the death of me." He literally said that. And then he went off on this lengthy diatribe about how everyone buys them on the first day, but then they just sit on the shelves after that. And I was like, cool. Old people really want to talk about their problems today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I had to go to a couple stores. It was a bit of a thing. But
that
I got it.
Sounds
so
horrible. I think Iowa gave up on Amiibo fever.
Maybe the bubble burst. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
we'll see.
I guess I still haven't seen a falcon in the wild besides that one that I
really
got. Yeah.
Oh, you have falcon, right?
I did. I got it on Amazon. I've never seen one like actually on a peg here. I've never seen an Ike.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Ike was literally, I'm pretty sure, just a pre-order only. Like I don't think maybe Toys R Us. Toys R Us is the best.
Yeah.
For Amiibo. But I have not seen Ike anywhere.
Huh.
What else haven't I seen? Because I have them all right now like a maniac. I've seen most of the other ones in some way, shape, or form. Yeah, pretty much everything else I've seen except for Ike, to be honest.
Yeah. So Amiibos. Yeah.
And the retailer.
Still
yeah.
pretty freaking cool this year.
Yeah, still making a lot of money for Nintendo as far as I know. I think they're over 5 million. I'm waiting for that moment when they surpass sales of the Wii U.
Oh, no.
And then I just put, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see how it doesn't happen. I'm going to put my face in my hands.
Yep. Let's see here. Any other things we want to touch on? We talked about the games. Talked about the big news. Let's see. Is there anything upcoming? This is usually how we end this show, right? Something in the near future. Bloodborne, right? Bloodborne, that's the most interesting thing happening.
I'm very excited for that game. I don't think anything's going to bring me down about that, especially because a lot of the pre-release impressions have been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
People are, like, I guess, concerned that the embargo is really close to release, but
yeah,
I think it's going to be good.
I think that was the case with Dying Light too. It was like day one, and it ended up being critically very well liked. So,
well, I think it ended up being that it was really close to the whole Ubisoft thing, where they had their embargoes and they were like, oh, 12 o'clock on the day of release or whatever it was.
Okay.
And I think people were still like feeling kind of burned by that, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that ended up being fine. And this, I mean, everyone who's looked at it has said it's great. So I'm really excited to dig into that. I think that'll be, I'm kind of thinking that might be my console game of the year.
Yeah, when all already said, decided.
Yeah, unless MGS, blows it out of the water. But that's got some stuff that I'm a little concerned about. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I think that we'll wrap it up here. It feels good to be back.
Yeah, definitely. Even in a kind of a bad week.
Yeah. Real weird week. But hey, what? We're committed to giving you that information. Listen, dear listener.
Yeah. See you in 3 months, assholes.
Yeah. Next quarter.
No, hopefully this will be more routine as we kind of get back. Just, wipe off all the dust.
Knock the rust off.
Get back into it. Yeah.
Yep, I think that'd I pulled nice. A hammy. I might need to take a week off.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Watch out for that tennis elbow, dude.
Oh, dude, you telling me. I got golf elbow, actually. too much golfing.
I got new white luxury sport now, elbow. the latest one. Hyalai.
Oh, yeah.
Hyalai.
I got 16 shot finger tendonitis. That's what.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's when you hit the button 16 times in 1 second, like Master Takahashi. Is that right?
Yeah.
16 seconds. 16 times.
That guy, the one who did the thing.
Yeah.
What is his name?
Master. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Something. Okay. Sure. Well, on that solid fact, let's put this puppy to bed. This has been Boss Barrel Radio episode Doesn't Really Matter. I have been Griffin Hoffman, and with me is Jeff Brewer. Thank you so much.
Yeah, awesome times.
Yeah, go play some games. There's good stuff out there. Maybe, hopefully, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, like Suikoden 2. That was a good one.
Got to finish it still.
Do it.
My castle.
Do it. You can do it.
I'll do it.
All right.
In due course.
Okay.
All right.
See ya.
Bye.